Hello, everybody. Welcome back to what is, I can very confidently say, the most festive edition of Enterprise Dish in 2020, without a doubt. I mean, we are looking fabulous. Dux has, once again, I think this is twice now, potentially upstaged me in the outfit department, but he has gone all in with a sweater, snowman on the sweater.
Santa.
Why was I thinking snowman? Yeah. And then obviously you've got the headset and the hat. Just looking dapper, my man. Just.
Dude, because now everything's virtual. I gotta up my game on my virtual holiday party, you know?
Oh, yes. Yes, that is. I'm thinking about so many different things that I never even thought I would contemplate on a couple days before the holidays. But here we are, Dux. And it has been, I don't know if we want to say December to remember, but there's been a lot of news, and we're going to kick it off with some news very close to your heart, because it, quite literally, figuratively, and I think there's even some memorabilia potentially, oops, in your background of AvePoint, but you guys had a colossal announcement, and I think this is the only appropriate place to discuss it, so why don't you let our listeners know what you guys have done?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I had to take my glasses off because it's itchy, but all the garlands and such is impacting my eyesight here. But no, thank you for this opportunity. So for those that may not have seen, about a month ago around Thanksgiving, we announced that we're filing for what's called an initial public merger with a technology company called Apex, APEX. And this company is founded by the former Oracle CFO, Jeff Epstein, and also a former leader at Goldman Sachs looking after their technology investments, Brad Koenig. This is an exciting time for us because as we're growing, this couldn't be, you talk about timing, a better time for us to essentially join forces and further grow the organization to support a lot of our customers in the modern workplace arena, especially Microsoft 365, as we've seen the tremendous growth and adoption of this technology during this period of remote work.
Yeah, this is, I've told Dux this privately and I've told a public, I'm super fascinated by this journey AvePoint is on, not only because one, Dux and I have friends that have known each other and I've watched them grow up, but like, this is a, for people who aren't familiar, going from a privately held company to a public entity is a titanic shift. It is not just like, okay, we filed some paperwork and here we are. Like, processes have to change. Duck, there's certain things Dux is probably not publicly allowed to talk about right now. There's blackout periods. There's all sorts of considerations and things that are going to adapt. But the other thing too is AvePoint has always been a pretty aggressive company, like a pretty aggressive moving, you know, headfirst into new markets, just diving into stuff, releasing software. Some works great. Some maybe you guys pushed aside, but it's really going to be interesting to see what you guys do now that you've kind of broken out of the shell of comfort zone of like, okay, we're just this company that does Microsoft 365. Now we're going public because that means big bets. That means big adventures. That means a lot of stuff we're going to be watching here, you know, as a independent third party outsider. This is going to be super fun.
I mean, no, thank you. Thank you for that word of encouragement and support. But truly, it's been an exciting journey. As you've mentioned, the company has been around for 19 years. And I think another proof point where there are certain opportunities in the Microsoft ecosystem. So in the last 19 years, our primary business is around the collaboration space. You know, we started back in the day of SharePoint on-premises, building the first backup solution, and fast forward to today, supporting Microsoft 365. We're the largest data management solutions provider for the Microsoft 365 platform. And certainly as a Microsoft partner, this is truly an exciting time to be able to grow our business in the ecosystem and, you know, moving forward to expand our repertoire, as some would say, into other opportunities around data management. So it is a new opportunity. It's, you know, there's going to be new experiences that come with it, but we're very excited and we're grateful for this opportunity we have, especially during this time.
Yeah, it's. I look forward to watching this. You know, this is like I talk about it sometimes on this podcast. In other words, this is like the perfect meddling of like my business background and like the Microsoft market overlapping. And like, this is just like, all right, you know, give me the popcorn. I'm going to sit here and hang out. This is going to be fun. So we look forward to that. Dux, congratulations. I know that.
Thank you.
I know that the work is, well, the work at this point has already begun, but you know, you're at the beginning of a new chapter of the AvePoint journey, and we're excited that we can be, just a little part of that. But you mentioned something there, and your little talk and little spiel, Mana, whatever you want to call it, SharePoint, right? SharePoint has been a foundation for AvePoint, and Microsoft actually announced a couple weeks back, SharePoint Online doubled its usage year over year, went from 100 million to 200 million, added 100 million people of monthly active users to SharePoint Online in 12 months. That is nuts.
No, no surprise, no surprise, right? So if you look at the last 10 months, again, during this time of COVID and people working remotely, we've seen a big surge. A lot of our customers, first of all, moving from their on-premises investments to Microsoft 365. A lot of people don't realize this, but OneDrive is actually a part of SharePoint. So I suspect that that's part of the statistic. A lot of file shares moving to SharePoint Online, a lot of SharePoint on-premises moving SharePoint Online. And then the second reason is because of the situation we're in, a lot of customers are being more conservative in their IT spend. So they're consolidating a lot of their cloud investments. Well, we work with organizations having, Box, Dropbox, Microsoft 365, and they're like, why do we have all these things? Let's just consolidate. So I would suspect that's another reason for this growth. And then third, we all know Teams is growing like gangbusters. And for those that may not be familiar, Teams, while certainly it's being used for calling and chatting and a lot of the Zoom-like or what used to be Skype capabilities, it's now being used for a lot of team-based collaboration where a lot of documents and content is being stored actually in SharePoint. So I think those three things are really contributing to this intense growth.
One of the things that I hope that Microsoft shares one day is when you think about that many users coming on board, the swelling of the data that they are retaining, not necessarily looking at, but like just physically like have to put on a disk. Like there's a very serious story there from Microsoft about how they manage that capacity, how they dealt with that just massive influx of traffic, of content, of storage needs across their data centers. While we know they have tons of them, like 100 million users coming in, they're going to be generating just tons and tons of it.
And then there's other layers to that, right? So storing data is one part, but then second is reliability. I know in the past couple of months, we've seen a couple of hiccups, and I would suspect it's due to the volume of people using the platform. And then third is certainly security aspect of it as well. We're seeing a lot of security episodes, so to speak, in the past couple of weeks across different platforms, across different geographic boundaries. So Microsoft certainly, I'm sure, is on top of that. And then the other part is now all these different regulations coming up. Certainly, we know about GDPR already. We know about the privacy laws in California. And we're seeing a bunch of different countries. I know South America and Brazil, for example, they're putting in place a lot of these compliance regulation. And all of this relates to data. So yeah, like you, I can't wait to see how, at the very least, Microsoft does a case study on how they do all this. It's a good lesson for every organization.
It really is because they are dealing with things at a scale, quite candidly, I probably can't even imagine. And I would love to know just like their methodology because it's like, hey, if they said we're going to get all this data, like what is their workflow process to break down the components needed to be able to swell or absorb all that? Because it's not something like, I guarantee it's not something like, oh, we'll just go buy some more hard drives. Like that narrative doesn't work at the scale that Microsoft is
No.
dealing with.
And it's not just all Word documents or PowerPoint presentations, right?
Yeah, you got media, you got rich media assets, you have people running database content off of that information. Like it's yeah, that there's a narrative there, and I truly hope I got to keep we together should harass Chris Capossela because he would be the top dog to make that story happen and come to life. Although there's many lieutenants underneath him who could bring that as
So
well.
wait, Brad, you talked about databases. Don't tell me you're still using Access.
So funny enough, this is an absolutely very true story. So my father had a business which he sold like 4 years ago. And it was based off of an Access database. And there are times that I still go in there and tinker around with an Access DB. That was sort of my kind of, I don't want to say introduction into this world, but that's like my dad built that. And this was, he started the company back in 1990. So you can imagine how far back this goes and how ingrained it became. But I am quite familiar with AccessDB, and I would be telling a fib if I didn't say I've opened and accessed it a couple times this year.
All good.
I did not think AccessDBs would be coming up. I did not think that. Other things, Ducks, that have rolled out to Teams, breakout rooms, we talked about this a bunch, is here, which is just, I don't want to say it's about time, but I'm really happy that it's here because there's so many, like when it hit my wife's tenant, she was just ecstatic. She, because they have new, I was going to say new employee, new student onboarding coming up, and breakout rooms are things that they've needed for a while.
Yeah, I think the breakout rooms is a perfect scenario for any type of workshop that you're doing where you need a group of people to go off and do something and come back. That's perfect. And Zoom has that for a while, but now Teams have it. I think it's a great addition to the different capabilities that Teams offer.
Yep, and then we've also got native notifications coming to Teams. Those should be arriving. They were actually delayed about a month, but they should be arriving honestly like any time now. So you might want to check your own app to see if you have that. And Ducks, here's the question. I'm curious where you're going to take this. So we know what's happened in 2020. Like the story has been written. We are in the final hours of the year. Let's talk about 2021. I think if we look back
Sure.
at 2019 and our predictions for 2020, we probably candidly missed the mark because I don't think any of us could predict this. But what do you think is going to be happening for the year ahead in the Microsoft world? Just we're not going to hold you accountable to this, obviously. But curious to just your thoughts. I mean, you've got very different insights. And for people who aren't aware, Ducks is very much an MVP, but not just any MVP, regional director. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So Ducks has a completely different vantage point than somebody like myself. So I'm just curious, what you think is on the horizon.
So if I were to predict, in fact, I think it's true not only for Microsoft, but a lot of tech companies in general. I think this idea of being more people-centric will be top of mind. And here's why I think that, right? Because first and foremost, remote work technology fatigue is quite apparent, and it's actually becoming a challenge, not only impacting people, but also impacting organizations. We hear a lot about, oh, a Zoom meeting fatigue or just being online too much. So as such, I think organizations will be more mindful on how to best leverage technologies in a way where people can have a true balance of work-life integration. And there's so much technologies we use between Microsoft 365 or mobile devices. And this experience, we all know, if not organized accordingly, can be not only distracting, but also not good for our health. So I think organizations like Microsoft would invest more and look into, okay, how do we help set a lot of these boundaries and guidelines, how to focus more? So for example, with my analytics focus time, I use that a lot. That's awesome. Maybe integrating AI into it to not only remind you, hey, you should take a break or you should do focus work, but maybe potentially looking at how you do meetings and provide recommendations that maybe you should cut down on your meetings, right? So I think that's where a lot of the investment would be going into, especially for this remote work environment.
Interesting. That seems like on the surface completely plausible, right? We've already seen some of Microsoft dabbling in that a little bit. They've been trying to maximize some of that productivity through AI over the years with products like Delve that have shown up, just trying to surface content, be more relevant, make your calendar invites that on your PC show up with related content. So I don't think that's a bad prediction. I think if you're taking like what's the logical approach, if I was going to be a little bit more pessimistic, well, not pessimistic, back to the roots, my sort, and this is going to shock 0.0 people. If you go back and look at what Satya Nadella is charged with by the board of directors and the shareholders, it's Teams growth. And so
Absolutely.
I think, from a very like nuts and bolts perspective, and this is again an obvious statement from the center field, we're going to see more significant push because they actually increased Satya's compensation return on and they elevated Teams growth more than other elements of the Microsoft portfolio. So that's my hedge.
Well, I would fully agree with you on that too, because as a business, again, where we're seeing this from our customers is more Teams adoptions happening. Our technology that complements with Teams are being consumed more. So we have an app called My Hub, which centralizes all your workspaces on Teams. We see it on the telemetry where it's being downloaded a whole lot more. So I'm not
Interesting.
surprised. And you see all the messaging around Microsoft lately, around modern work, is centered around Teams.
Good stuff. I always say we should circle back in a year ahead and kind of see how things play out, but I'm a little scared to rewind about a year ago to see how naive we were, because we were probably like, yeah, Dex, I'll see you at Build. Like, Ignite's going to be great. Maybe at the partner
Exactly.
conference. Like, things are going to be, it's going to be great. New York, it'll be good. And yeah, I'm not ready to feel right now. Like, that's.
You know, that would be a good exercise. Maybe watch reruns of a lot of these year-end prediction shows from last year.
Yeah.
And then how many of them would have predicted 2020?
And if you find somebody who was right, if you find the guy, be like, look, you're 2020, we're all going to be staying at home. I think there's going to be a disease. Like, that's the guy you take your stock tips from.
That's right.
Well, Ducks, as we wrap up 2020, this is quite literally the last podcast in the Enterprise Dish series for 2020. You know, what's on your mind? What's happening in your world? How's the Washington, D.C. area treating you?
You know, as we wrap up 2020, right? Really, while crazy as it may sound, and unexpected as it could be, I'm still very grateful. I'm grateful, number one, for the fact that technology that we have today enabled us to connect, be it for work, family, virtual birthday parties. So I'm grateful for technology. Number two is I'm grateful that we came together as a community, helping each other out. I've seen certainly how there's a lot of support to our frontline workers. And during summer, we work with the Boys and Girls Club to do technology drive, and a lot of people came to support. So I'm grateful for that, right? We all came together in the midst of this challenge, and we figured out how to help each other. And then third is, it's just, you know, this year, again, a lot of people have been affected, but, you know, friends like you and family, everybody's safe and healthy, and I hope that continues on for 2021.
Well, that was nice and wholesome, Ducks. It wasn't that is, I think that's a succulent way of describing that, you know, things are very bad across a wide demographic. But as I think it was Mr. Rogers said, you always got to look for the helpers. Those are the things that are going to give you the light that are going to help you get through it. And so with that, we appreciate you hanging out with us, Ducks, through your obviously very busy time. We appreciate, honestly, all the listeners. We got some really good questions throughout the year. And that's been honestly the one metric that has really climbed for at least this podcast in general, is I've gotten tons of emails from questions to just feedback to things people want us to talk about. And we genuinely appreciate that. So to everybody who's listening here, we appreciate your time. Ducks, we appreciate your time, and we'll catch all of you here in 2021.
Take care. Happy New Year.